Tea? Water? Anything?
Leia waved off refreshments as she followed Casterfo into his personal office, and then stopped in place as though frozen. On the walls of Casterfo's office hung artifacts from the Empire. A stormtrooper's helmet. The black control box of a TIE pilot's atmospheric suit. Flags and banners of the Empire, the individual stormtrooper legions, and one faded, slightly torn, but still searing to Leia's eyes, dedicated to Palpatine himself. It was one thing to see such items in a museum. Not that Leia would have ever gone to such an exhibit, but she would have understood its historical purpose. This adulation, however, was grotesque.
Senator Organa?
Casterfo stared at Leia, somehow completely oblivious to the source of her discomfort.
Are you well? You look pale. Perhaps you should sit down.
In here? Leia held out her hands, gesturing to the array of artifacts surrounding them. In the middle of your shrine to the glories of the Empire? Casterfo smiled. How could he dare smile?
Now, Senator, don't overreact. These are historical relics, no more.
As though the war against the Empire had taken place millennia before, rather than the space of one generation. Leia wondered if Casterfo thought of her as a historical relic, too. You consider yourself a collector, then? Her tone remained cool, but she took a seat in one of the chairs. As she'd anticipated, Casterfo didn't go sit behind his desk, which would have been an assertion of his authority. He didn't want to insult her in that way, but he wasn't sure what else to do, and so was left standing in front of her, slightly at a loss. But he remained eager to talk about his hobby.
Yes, exactly. I was only a small boy when the war ended. The adventures you all must have had. When I look around at these things, I imagine the battle so vividly. I feel as if I had been there.
If Casterfo had really been able to imagine himself in the great battles of the war, he wouldn't have enjoyed the experience. Leia had dealt with enough shell-shocked former rebellion troops to know that much. However, his guileless enthusiasm soothed her somewhat. All right, he's not a warmonger. Just an overgrown kid who thinks he missed out on all the excitement. She had never been so close to Casterfo before, and saw now that his polished appearance was not entirely perfect. His sandy hair had perhaps been grown longer in order to hide his ears, which protruded somewhat sharply from his narrow face. But he'd practically lacquered his hair in order to make it look sleek, no doubt because it otherwise would have curled tightly. Even the flowing cloak was probably meant to disguise how reed-thin he was. Before, Leia had seen Casterfo's obvious concern for his appearance as vanity. Now, she realized it was at least partly vulnerability, evidence that Casterfo wanted to look older than his years, more prosperous than his planet. He wanted to stand in the Senate and look as if he belonged. Her judgment of him gentled. For the remaining second it took him to add,
besides, even if we cannot respect these soldiers' methods, we can at least honor their dream.
Dream?
The dream of empire, of course.
Casterfo smiled like a man remembering the best days of his childhood.
If the galaxy truly could have been united under a wise, authoritative leader, such an empire might have stood for 1,000 years, to rival the old Republic itself.
Leia realized she was gaping at him, mouth open.
You wish the Empire were still standing? Not the Empire we had, led by a man so corrupt as Palpatine. But if the Empire could have been reformed, perhaps, turned over to better and more responsible leadership.
You mean if the rebellion could have been defeated? Leia snapped. Her temper had heated beyond the point of restraint.
I regret that we so disappointed you, Senator Casterfo, by fighting and dying to set the galaxy free.
His face flushed.
Oh, don't misunderstand me, please. I would never have wished for the rebellion to lose the war. I only wish that the war had not been necessary.
You think Palpatine was the only problem with the Empire? Think again. That kind of power structure bred corruption from the highest levels on Coruscant down to the smallest outposts on border worlds. When the people with authority don't have to answer to citizens of the galaxy, the result is tyranny. Casterfo's boyish dismay had faded and was now replaced by anger as poorly concealed as Leia's own.
So the answer is to give power to no one? In order to ensure that no evil can be done by those in authority, we make sure no good can be accomplished by them either?
What good do you think the Empire had to offer?
Very little, it seems. But if the old Republic had not been flawed in its own right, Palpatine could not have come into power in the first place.
This made a certain degree of sense, as Leia was uncomfortably aware. She had heard her father's stories about the final days of the Old Republic too many times not to have absorbed his warnings about how liberty came to die. But Casterfo had never learned these lessons. He only wanted to excuse the rise of the Empire. A republic can be changed as needed because it remains answerable to its people.
A wise and just emperor would listen to his people as well, Casterfo insisted. The only problem was that we had the wrong emperor.
The only problem? There was a limit to the amount of stupidity Leia could tolerate in one day, and she'd just hit it. She got to her feet.
I don't have time for a conversation about galactic politics with someone so profoundly ignorant of their greater implications.
Casterfo drew himself up to his considerable full height.
Nor do I have time to discuss these matters with someone so intolerant of other points of view.
By that point, Leia's temples were throbbing, hinting at the headache her anger was carving within her skull.
I'll have my protocol droid come by tomorrow to exchange details about our travel.
She wouldn't dream of forcing Greer or Corey to deal with the man one moment longer than necessary. Besides, C-3PO would be thrilled to have something to do. Never had Leia been more grateful for a protocol droid.
My assistant can handle all other details of the trip. There's no need for us to see each other again until it's time to depart. If, of course, that's all right with you.
Casterfo folded his arms.
Believe me, I would find that arrangement a great relief.
The feeling's mutual. Leia strode out of his office, through the thicket of staffers pretending not to eavesdrop at the door, and back out into the corridors. As she stepped back onto the moving sidewalk, she covered her face with one hand. Her temper had gotten the better of her often enough in her life, but not many people had incensed her as quickly as Ransom Casterfo and his collection of historical items, which insulted everything she had fought for. Soon she'd be stuck with him for days, or even weeks, however long it took to get to the bottom of the situation with the Nikto cartels on Bastatha. So much for an exciting last mission. It looked like her final days as a New Republic senator were going to be a royal pain in the ass.
Chapter 4. Joff Seastriker had been born and raised on the planet Gatalenta, a world as warm as it was tranquil, famed for its tea, its meditative retreats, and lengthy erudite poetry. People slept to the sound of wind chimes and woke to thank their suns for rising each day. Gatalenta offered serenity, silence, and calm. Joff hadn't been able to get off Gatalenta fast enough because he was bored as hell. For as long as he could remember, Joff had longed for excitement, for adventure. In his class, he was always the loudest, the most restless, and the least content. So his mothers placidly accepted Joff's desire to join the New Republic military. Maybe it wasn't like the old days, where you got to be a hero, but at least he could fly the best starfighters and travel around the galaxy. Although he'd left Gatalenta for the Academy only 4 years ago, Joff felt sometimes as if he'd lived on his home planet in a completely different lifetime. He'd never once looked back. Well, sometimes he missed the wind chimes. But that was it. Upon graduation a few weeks before, he'd been assigned to the Precision Air Team. Less than a week ago, he'd been doing starbursts high above the statue dedication ceremony grinning in triumph as he swooped high into the clouds. At the time, it had seemed about as good as duty got. But now, he'd been assigned as a military escort to a senatorial mission, to one headed into the criminal underworld, no less. That was the kind of excitement he'd been craving all along. Joff brought his X-Wing fighter into the Senate hangar, spinning it around sharply to land next to the ship, even now being loaded with supplies. Sure enough, the info grid on his console told him this was the Mirrorbright, personal spacecraft of Senator Leia Organa herself. He took some satisfaction in determining that he was, in fact, the only X-Wing pilot around. During the past few days, his orders had fluctuated several times, from being part of an entire squadron to accompany the senators on their mission, to being told that there would be no military escort at all. Apparently, there had been some bickering higher up about this. Joff neither knew nor cared about the details. The air in the hangar smelled of rubber, grease, and solder. In the distance, he saw low-level maintenance droids shuffling from craft to craft and sparks flying from repair torches. The Mirrorbright stood out from the others the way the moon outshone the stars, its surface a glossy white and its edges curved, broadcasting its status as a civilian craft. Joff hopped out of the cockpit with a grin on his face. As his boots thudded on the tarmac, he caught a glimpse of the person he assumed was the Mirrorbright's pilot, sitting on a storage crate with her back to Joff as she checked in the material being loaded aboard. Her gray jumpsuit was civilian issue, as was the heavy woolen shawl draped across her shoulders. Her thick black hair hung loose down her back, another hint that she'd never been military.
"Still, she's your co-pilot for this entire mission. So play it cool, make a good first impression, and for once in your life, don't try too hard," Joff thought.
As he stepped closer, she heard his approach and turned. She was the kind of pretty that wasn't merely seen. Instead, it hit you like a tidal wave. Lustrous black hair, full lips, deep coppery skin. But no sooner had the rush of infatuation spilled over him than it subsided. This woman was so far out of Joff's league that even a crush was impossible. It would have been like getting lovesick over a sunset. He relaxed and walked forward with a grin.
"I'm Lieutenant Joff Seastriker, and I'm your escort for the mission."
She frowned.
"Your Seastriker?"
Joff had run into disbelief before. He kept promising himself not to get defensive about it, but it was hard to resist.
"You can check my ID and everything. If you think I'm too short, well, I'm 1.5 millimeters above minimum regulation height."
1.5,
she repeated, and he could have winced. Joff could never quite keep himself from adding the half, but he hated it when people thought he was a mechanic instead. Still, her smile was warm rather than mocking, and she held out her hand.
"I'm Greer Sonnel, the senator's assistant and pilot of the Mirrorbright. Glad to have you along."
A political staffer and a pilot? That seemed like a strange combination.
Before Joff could inquire, though, Greer continued,
"If you ask me, we ought to bring a couple of extra starfighters. Bastatha's no place for law-abiding people."
"Have you been there?"
"No, but I've worked with pilots who have. All underworld spaceports are potentially dangerous. Bastatha isn't one of the worst, but we'll have to watch ourselves."
Greer patted the nose of the Mirrorbright.
"At least we've made a few custom modifications that should allow her to hold her own if we run into any trouble."
Joff realized the Mirrorbright's unconventional W shape allowed for weapons stations to be tucked into the corners, unobtrusive and almost invisible. While the average transport would have no weaponry save perhaps defensive shielding, this ship could probably hold its own in a firefight.
"So the senator believes in peaceful negotiations, huh?"
Greer's full lips quirked in a smile.
"Let's just say she believes in being prepared. Her husband and I installed these guns a few years ago, when I first started working for him."
"Her husband?" "Stay calm. Do not freak out." don't say the name Han Solo unless you're totally sure your voice won't squeak. You, know Captain Solo?
I won the Junior Sabers competition a few years back.
Greer shifted from foot to foot.
Ancient history.
Anyone good enough to win a Sabers race, even at the junior level, knew what she was doing. Joff wanted to be impressed, but instead he felt intensely jealous. While he'd been taking exams at the academy, she'd been out winning races, flying with the Han Solo, and having all the exciting times he'd been denied. Not that excitement was a finite resource some people used up before others could get their share, but still.
I'll get my chance,
he reminded himself. From the sound of things, Astatha might provide plenty of opportunities for action. Good morning. Across the hangar walked Senator Organa, although it took Joff a moment to recognize her. Instead of formal senatorial robes, she wore a simple cream-colored tunic and leggings, and her hair was gathered into a braid down her back. How's she looking, Greer?
She's ready to fly when you give the word,
Greer promised.
And our X-Wing escort just showed up. Senator, this is Lieutenant Joff Seastriker. Joff, this is Senator Leia Organa.
Pleased to meet you, ma'am. Wait, was that right? I mean, Senator, or, Princess. No, Your Highness.
A golden protocol droid shuffling up behind them said,
Either Senator or Your Highness at first reference. Ma'am or Princess Leia is acceptable thereafter.
That's C-3PO, Princess Leia said with a skyward glance and a shake of her head. For a legendary war hero, she turned out to be pretty grounded. Don't worry. He'll tell you more about etiquette than you ever wanted to know. 3PO worries about it so I don't have to. And this is our staff intern, Cor Sela. Cor couldn't have been more than 16, which meant Joff wasn't the youngest person on the mission. Compared with her, he was experienced. Worldly, even. He felt more confident already, and the mission was looking up. Until a male voice called,
Are we ready for departure?
Everyone tensed. Joff turned to see a tall, pale, skinny guy walking toward them in a blue velvet cloak that would have been appropriate on the floor of the Senate or at a wedding, but was absurdly posh for a hangar bay.
Very nearly, Senator Casterfo,
C-3PO said cheerfully.
You're right on time, sir.
Casterfo stopped short, apparently taken aback to see everyone else in standard space jockey attire. Although Princess Leia smiled at Casterfo, it was the kind of smile that hit harder than a punch. Cor bit her lower lip, and Greer's sigh clearly meant something like, Oh, brother, here we go. Joff could almost have felt sorry for the guy, if Casterfo weren't so obviously in love with himself.
Well,
Senator Casterfo didn't seem to know what else to say to the shabbier people around him.
I'll have the droids load my trunks aboard.
Please do. With that, Princess Leia headed onto the Mirrorbrite herself, either to check things over pre-launch, or to avoid Casterfo as long as possible. Probably both. Once all the higher-ups had walked away, Joff muttered,
Is it my imagination, or did the temperature in here just drop almost to freezing?
Greer gave him a sideways glance.
Let's put it this way. You're going to have a way more comfortable ride in that X-Wing than we will on the Mirrorbrite, because it's only getting colder from here.
Leia remained in her cabin for as long as possible during the voyage to Bastatha, using the hours to snatch a quick nap and then send another communique to Luke and Ben. The Force alone knew when they would hear it. Luke's last message to her had been a while ago and badly corrupted by radiation interference. Wherever they were in the galaxy, they were cut off from communication for the time being. Only at the end of the trip did she prepare herself for the diplomatic visit. Her deep maroon gown had been richly embroidered in blue and silver at the edges, and she had ornamented her long braid with dull pewter pins inset with small glittering stones. More flashy than valuable, but in a place like Bastatha where style was forced to stand in for substance, A little theater went a long way.
When she could procrastinate no longer, Leia emerged from her cabin, determined to face Castorfo as calmly as possible. But he was nowhere to be seen. From the cockpit, Greer called,
"He just gave up, a few minutes ago."
"Oh yeah?"
Leia went into the cockpit herself. Greer sat at the main controls, but there was a chair for a co-pilot or auxiliary gunner, currently empty. When Leia sank down into it, she saw the strange, warped blue waves of hyperspace in front of them, beckoning and forbidding all at once.
"What did he say?"
Greer shrugged.
"He tried to make conversation with Corey, until she came up with some excuse about reviewing her work. Then he talked with me for a little bit about racing, where he actually knows his stuff, so give him some points there."
Leia couldn't help chuckling.
"You'd forgive anyone if he had a fast enough cruiser, wouldn't you, Greer?"
"Or if he backs the right teams."
Greer's smile made her seem even younger than her years, like the scrap of a girl she'd been when Leia first met her. Han had taken countless young pilots under his wing during the past several years, many of whom remained close to them both even now. His willingness to take on the role of mentor was one of the first things she'd noticed about Han Solo years ago. Well, one of the first things she'd liked about him. For all his griping about farm boys, Han had dedicated himself to Luke in the days after the first Death Star's destruction. Leia had watched as Luke slowly overcame his grief for Obi-Wan Kenobi and his aunt and uncle, while learning about gunnery, ship repair, and countless other things from Han. The sarcasm and wit Han used disguised his concern from Luke, and even Leia took a while to realize that Han was looking out for her, too. Han was just as committed to his current crop of young pilots. Leia wished she could believe he mentored them out of the same impulse that had led him to befriend Luke. Probably on some level he did. But Han was also teaching these kids the same lessons he'd wanted to teach their son. Footsteps from behind made Leia turn around just in time to see Castorfo stepping back into the main living area. His velvet cloak had crumpled somewhat during their journey in hyperspace, but he drew himself upright with as much dignity as he could muster.
"I take it we're nearing the Bastatha system?"
"Not quite."
Greer didn't glance away from her controls.
"But it's only going to be a few more minutes."
Leia got to her feet and strolled past Castorfo, the better to help herself to some Gadolinian tea from the Mirror Bright's stores. As she busied herself with its preparation, she said, "I take it your accommodations are comfortable, Senator Castorfo?" She expected him to reply in kind, formal, stiff, and barely within the boundaries of courtesy. Instead, Castorfo stepped to her side, where it was impossible not to look at him.
"Senator Organa, I realize our initial conference went poorly, in large part due to my own tactlessness. My conversation was more theoretical in nature, philosophical."
"What philosophy is it that leads you to worship the Empire?"
Leia thought, but did not say. The man was trying to be polite, and she could at least respect the effort. They had a job to do on Bastatha, a potentially important one. There was no point in letting Castorfo's distasteful politics get in the way.
"And in my enthusiasm for the concept of monarchy, I failed to take your personal experiences into account," he continued. "We both said things that were ill-advised, but your reason for speaking so heatedly was far more excusable than my own. I can only hope you will forgive me."
Leia had been a diplomat too long not to recognize a good apology when she heard one. "I understand, Senator Castorfo. Please don't worry about it any longer. The past is the past, and we have work to do."
"My thoughts precisely."
Castorfo straightened the collar of his cloak as he pulled himself back up to his full height. Whatever sense of humility he'd mustered had already dissolved.
"On to Bastatha."
Chapter 5. The planetary surface on Bastatha was superheated by its red giant of a sun, uninhabitable by all but the most ineradicable bacteria and the sturdiest mining droids.
As the mirror bright sliced through the hazy golden sky, it drew trails in the clouds of sulfur and methane that boiled in the valleys. On Bastatha, the underground was literally underground. Leia watched as the mirror bright dived straight toward the surface of the planet, nimbly turning sideways just in time to slip into a narrow crack that turned into a cavern. Joff Seastriker's X-Wing followed behind, keeping close despite the numerous stalagmites and stalactites now breaking up the narrow spaces they had to traverse. The thin rays of the sunlight above soon faded into nothingness, and the air cleared into something humans could breathe. Greer cut their speed as they began to navigate by sensors and running lights alone. Finally, they reached the platform where the municipal authorities were waiting for them, an oasis of light amid the stony gloom. As Greer lowered the mirror bright for its landing, Leia smoothed her hair. "Let me do the talking." Casterfo didn't like this any better than she'd expected him to.
"The local authorities will no doubt wish to hear from us both."
"The local authorities are merely puppets. They do whatever the cartel leaders want. Our job is to reveal little and promise nothing." Leia raised an eyebrow. "Understand?"
"Perfectly," Casterfo sniffed. "If at any point we run into anything in the galaxy you don't already know, please alert me. I shall wish to record the event for posterity."
"Did he just say..." Before Leia could lose her cool, C-3PO chimed in.
"Oh, sir, you need not trouble yourself. I am programmed to record all essential conversations, and as you know, I am fluent in nearly 7 million forms of communication."
"Yes, we know." Leia gestured to silence the droid, then forced herself back into diplomatic mode. Casterfo didn't like her any more than she liked him. Fair enough. If he just had the sense to shut up and let her handle this, they'd be fine. The magistrates, both of them Nyctos, practically fell all over themselves to welcome the new Republic envoys.
"What an honor,"
said Magistrate Tosta, one clawed hand to his chest.
"To meet the famous Princess Leia Organa in person. But of course, we are just as pleased to meet Senator Casterfo,"
hissed Magistrate Zune.
"So new to the Senate, and yet already so well-respected."
Their flattery applied to everyone, and they even insisted upon inviting her staffers and pilots along to dinner as well. Everyone accepted, save Greer, who insisted so convincingly upon remaining with the ships that anyone would think it was her personal preference, not Leia's cautious orders. They set out, Leia and Casterfo in the lead, with Corey and Joff just behind, to a chorus of praise from Tosta and Zune for the New Republic, for Leia's war record, for everyone's clothing, and so on. Even C-3PO was plied with flattery. Such an unusually sophisticated droid. Had he truly been with her so long? Extraordinary. Luckily, C-3PO was the only member of the team whose head could be turned by such stuff. The rest of them stayed on track as they were led deeper into the caverns of Bastatha. All business and personal life was conducted within these enormous tunnels of stone, most of them carved until they seemed to sweep up into majestic arches and vaults. The natural colors of the rock had been polished until they shone in mottled clouds of black, red, and every shade of gray. Air traveled through the tunnels in erratic gusts and gales, sometimes catching the edges of Leia's long robes, but mostly blowing overhead. "Where it steals the sound," she thought. Otherwise, every word spoken here would echo. Were Bastatha's strange air currents truly ungovernable by modern climate technology? She doubted it. No, this place was designed to keep its secrets close.
"We have prepared a table for you all at our grandest establishment,"
fawned Tosta, whose gaudy, gilt-edged robe put even Casterfo's finery to shame.
"Amid the splendors of the nightlife Bastatha is coming to be known for."
Meaning Rinriven Dai didn't want to hear about any of you getting a chance to speak with the senatorial delegation in private, Leia thought. "Yes, you're positioning this world as a resort, aren't you?"
The market for gambling in this region has too long been monopolized by the uncivilized,
Zune interjected.
We can offer a far more sophisticated experience here.
Indeed they could. Leia's party was ushered through gigantic doors that sectioned the tunnel, an arbitrary but effective split between what was considered outside and in. Glinting metal tiles spiraled upward along the richly carved columns that appeared to hold the ceiling 50 meters overhead. Perhaps 1,000 visitors lounged at the long oval tables, some of them merely eating or drinking, but most of them gaming. The dealer droids had been uniformly plated in shining copper so that they looked more like ornaments than tools as they dealt cards, spun wheels, and called out the winners and losers.
And here we are.
Tosta held out his scaly hands to present their table, which was placed nearly in the middle of the gaming hall.
We even have Ryosa Need to honor Senator Casterfo.
Leia accepted her glass without acknowledgement. She liked mead, but she couldn't enjoy the sweet taste while Casterfo preened before the Nikto's flattery. Are we only here to eat? She said. Or will we be able to enjoy Bastatha at its best? The Nikto's went still, their confusion obvious. Zune began.
Senator Organa, I beg your pardon, but if the arrangements are not to your liking...
Your arrangements are splendid! She smiled warmly before gesturing at the games of chance nearby. But after our meal, will we not be allowed to play? Immediately, both Nikto's brightened. Tosta said,
But of course. What game would be the noble senator's pleasure?
Sabacc, if you don't mind. Their smiles sharpened, the telltale sign of those who expected to make some money in short order. Sabacc was notoriously tricky, and the odds were always in the house's favor. But few Sabacc players had learned the game from Han Solo and Lando Calrissian.
Honestly, Casterfo whispered as he leaned closer to Leia. Is this the kind of example we should be setting as representatives of the Senate?
These people don't respect decorum. They respect cunning. Leia gave him a sidelong look.
Besides, if you're so worried about setting a good example, maybe you shouldn't spend so much time staring at the upper gallery.
Above them, on a wide balcony, strolled scantily clad people of 12 species and at least 4 genders Leia had spotted thus far.
I didn't intend...
Casterfo's pale skin flushed.
The guests there seem determined to catch our eyes.
Of course. That's because they're not guests. I would guess the casino refers to them as independent contractors. Leia took pleasure in watching Casterfo's face as he realized he'd been ogling the paid escorts, and with no intention of buying, which was rude on any planet. He sank back into his seat, obviously caught between embarrassment and ill-concealed umbrage. The banquet itself was pleasant enough, with food that was popular on several worlds, all of it prepared well. Leia made polite chit-chat about economic development with her Nikto hosts, paying more attention to what they didn't say than what they did. For instance, Tosta and Zune spoke often of investors without ever identifying who any of those investors might be or what their main financial interests were. They praised the New Republic in terms that might have been thought flattering for a populist. Respect for independent worlds, a less controlling approach, and so forth. But were borderline insulting to Casterfo, who clearly wasn't sure how a good centrist ought to respond. Of course, the Nikto's weren't actually declaring their allegiance to a party. They just didn't want anyone interfering in their business. Leia's eyes took in even more information than her ears. Some of this was merely amusing. For instance, the sight of tow-headed Joff Seastriker trying hard to come across as grown-up and experienced, when really, he looked as young and bright as a meadow flower. Meanwhile, Corey adeptly talked her way through the usual courtesies while working hard to recall every word. If Greer had been here, her quick mind would have been able to replay the conversations nearly as accurately as C-3PO. But Greer had been teaching Corey all her best tricks, and it appeared Corey was learning fast. Casterfo made a point of complimenting the food, the arrangements, all of it. And Leia noticed that he drew people's eyes even without openly trying to. This wasn't the same kind of fascination she knew she commanded, the sort that caused whispers. Princess Leia, the Rebellion, the Senator, the Princess, and so on. Ransom Casterfo wasn't that famous, at least not yet. But his good looks and youth, combined with his evident power and prosperity, gave him a luster few could deny. Most of the attention focused on him was open curiosity, though with many, the interest clearly involved attraction as well. Leia smiled as she imagined Casterfo as a shiny bauble she could dangle before the crowd. A perfect distraction. She particularly noticed a nearby table of humans. None of them were playing cards. Although they held drinks, they appeared to be nursing them rather slowly. This wasn't a group of hardcore gamblers, or even people out looking for a good time. They were quiet, watchful, curious. Leia focused hardest on an older woman, perhaps 10 to 15 years her senior, whose long, dark, curly hair was boldly streaked with silver. Her face showed the impact of small scars she hadn't bothered to have healed. Maybe she'd been in the war. Although she said little, body language alone proclaimed that this woman was in charge. Her dark eyes scanned the room constantly, back and forth and back again, as inexorably as any security sensor. Never once did her gaze linger on Leia or on Casterfo. They might as well have been inanimate objects. But it was this very inattention, or the appearance of it, that tipped Leia off. Anyone else would at least notice the sudden arrival of a senatorial mission in the center of the room. This woman's impassivity was a clue that she did not want to be noticed in return. Who was she? And why was it so important to her to remain unseen? So after the meal, when the dealer droid offered to start a game of sabacc for her table, Leia shook her head. Not enough at stake for a truly exciting game. If you could direct me to one of the larger tables...
Senator Organa.
Casterfo leaned closer to her, appalled.
What can you be thinking?
I'm thinking I'd like to play some cards.
These are professionals. Do you realize that if you were to lose to them, they could try to hold your debts over you for favors or political bribes?
Leia patted Casterfo's arm.
Relax.
He didn't relax, even though, 2 hours later, his complaints had totally changed direction. Casterfo leaned over her shoulder at the gaming table, crushed in closer to her by the throngs who had come to watch.
They think you're cheating.
I doubt it. Leia tossed a card into the interference field, an opalescent octagonal column of energy in the center of the gaming board. Around her were clustered the only remaining players. A human man with dark skin and a frown, a Lonerin who kept pushing his fur back from his eyes as if improving his view of his cards might also improve his hand, and a dark blue, long-snouted Toydarian woman who hovered fitfully at the end of the table. In front of Leia was piled a good portion of her winnings to date. But she'd already pushed a lot of those winnings into the pot for this hand, and she was tempted to push forward the rest. Why would they think I was cheating, Casterfo? You said so yourself. These are professionals. They know I'm on the up and up.
Your streak of good fortune would seem to go beyond chance, Casterfo said primly.
It's not about luck. It's about probabilities. Han and Lando had both taught her the likelihood of each card coming up. The trick was to play those odds and never, ever deviate in the heat of emotion. For all the excitement surrounding her, the Nikto officials pleased the senator was enjoying herself, Joff and Corey laughing with delight, Leia kept her cool. The randomizer flickered, changing the cards in their hands again. Her eyes widened as she recognized the final card she needed, and she hit the control. I call. Immediately, all the hands went on display. The Lonerin's hand, with a mere 16 points, was barely worth considering. Both the Toydarian and the other human had 19 points, however. Leia's hand showed the Ace of Coins and the Ace of Sabers, 30 points and well over maximum. But there, glittering in the interference field, was the star. Value negative 10.
20 points!
Joff started to applaud, and others followed suit.
You won again!
The dealer pushed yet more chips over to Leia as the crowd murmured and clapped. Instead of claiming them, Leia called out,
These aren't for me. They're for everyone. I'd like to buy a drink for every single being in the house.
Wild cheering followed, and immediately droids began to roll out, their trays filled with tall glasses of something green that wafted wisps of smoke.
I ought to have expected it.
Casterfo crossed his arms in front of his chest.
A cheap trick to win over the crowd.
Not that cheap.
Leia watched as her pile of winnings began to diminish. The drinks on Bastatha were of the highest quality, and therefore the highest prices. But this was exactly what she'd won the money for.
Very well played, ma'am,
Corey said, her glass of green stuff already in hand.
Would you like a tally of your wins and losses? Not that there are that many losses to mark down.
That's all right, Corey. Enjoy yourself, but be careful. That's a lot stronger than Ryosin mead. Leia turned her attention to one of the server droids, one that appeared sophisticated enough to answer questions. Is everybody enjoying their drinks?
Free intoxicants are among those gifts most welcomed by sentient biological life forms,
the droid replied. Leia casually said, What about them over there? The people who just got their drinks directly in front of us. The table in front of her was that of the dark-eyed woman she'd seen earlier. Although she did not acknowledge Leia's win, this woman and her companions accepted their drinks quickly and quietly, attempting to avoid the very attention they had just earned.
The party from Daxum 4 have lodged no complaints during this visit to Bastatha, ma'am.
Daxum 4. Leia mentally catalogued that name for later. Maybe her curiosity had only seized upon a random group of people, frequent gamblers who would naturally visit a world like this often, calmer than most. Her suspicion of them was only a hunch, but her hunches often proved to be right. Luke said those strong instincts of hers served as proof of the Force, evidence that it was working through her all the time. Maybe he was right. But Leia believed just as much in her experience and her common sense. All of them were telling her the same thing. The woman from Daxum 4 meant trouble. Just how much trouble? Only time would tell. Chapter 6. Leia had every intention of discussing the group from Daxum 4 with Ransom Casterfo as they all walked back to the Mirrorbright. While she didn't like Casterfo very much, he wasn't the type to have connections to the underworld. No doubt he had shoved his way into this mission in an attempt to raise his profile. Vain as this desire might be, it meant he genuinely wanted to find something worthy of reporting to the Senate. Besides, strong as her doubts were, she knew they were based mostly on her, call it intuition. Bouncing ideas off someone else would be valuable, even if it was Casterfo. But she never got the words out of her mouth. Casterfo never gave her the chance.
I suppose you're pleased with yourself, he said as they left the casino complex to return to the windy tunnels that led back to their ship.
The caverns arched high overhead, dark and foreboding.
You made a spectacle completely unbecoming to the dignity of the Senate.
Do you hear yourself? Leia shot back. How is playing cards in a casino a spectacle?
It is when you insist upon buying intoxicants for hundreds of people.
Would you rather I walked off with my new fortune? They would have hated that. Buying drinks for people makes them like us. When people like us, they're more likely to cooperate and tell us the things we need to know. Working with people to get them to cooperate is what we call politics. Casterfo gave her a withering look.
Your brand of politics, perhaps. I prefer appealing to my constituents' reason.
Was this guy born already 80 years old? Leia managed to resist saying as much out loud. I guess you like to keep yourself tidy. You don't understand what it means to get your hands dirty doing what needs to be done. We learned that in the Rebellion.
Did you spend the entire rebellion in the company of smugglers and lowlifes? He probably meant this to be a cutting remark. Instead, Leia found herself thinking of the first time she'd really seen Han's face, in a garbage compactor aboard the Death Star. Moments before he fired his blaster at the magnetically sealed walls and nearly killed them all. Leia couldn't help smiling. Almost, Senator Castelfo. In fact, I wound up married to one. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Joff Seastriker and Cor Sela exchange glances. This was the display unworthy of the Senate. She and Castelfo bickering in front of her intern and military escort. But Castelfo's priggishness chafed at her, and for all Leia's diplomatic experience, all her years and wisdom, she'd never been good at curbing her temper. Castelfo obviously wasn't entirely sure what to do with her reference to Han. Would he insult her husband, a war hero and a racing legend? Or would he back down? Neither, as it turned out. Instead, he went straight for insulting the rebellion itself. Getting your hands dirty. An interesting euphemism. I appreciate your candor, Senator Organa. Very few former rebels are willing to admit that their movement wasn't as high-minded and noble as people now like to claim. He ostentatiously straightened the collar of his billowing velvet robe, thin lips set in a smile that clearly said he thought he'd scored a point. Leia felt her temples throb, as if her fury at Castelfo had driven a spike straight into her skull. "Excuse me?" He shrugged, his gait never slowing. And by this late at night, this far in the walk, Leia was all too aware that his long, young legs were making this trip more easily than hers. Castelfo continued, "Don't misunderstand me. Obviously, the rebellion was right to oppose Palpatine. Something had to be done. But if you ask me, that hardly condones the terrorist tactics of the Rebel Alliance." "Terrorist tactics?" Castelfo stopped mid-pace. The two of them now stood in the heart of one of the long, dark tunnels, the wind rippling their robes and chilling Leia to the bone. He said, "Destroying the Death Stars, for a death toll of nearly 1.5 million people, the vast majority of whom were low-level Imperial officers or even civilian workers. The slaughter on Nault after the rebels had left, and the planet was discovered to have housed a secret base. Or what about the rebel assault on Vivona? Or the campaigns of Saul Guerrera's partisans? Can you condone that?" "We did what had to be done," Leia's voice shook. "We went up against a power so much greater than ours, whose tactics were so much bloodier. Can you imagine what would have happened if the Death Stars had remained operational? What act of terror could be more horrible than what happened to Alderaan? Have you forgotten that? I was there. I saw it happen, stood there watching while they destroyed my world, my home, everyone I had ever loved." By now, Castelfo's face had paled. He'd gone too far, and he knew it. But Leia could take no pleasure in seeing Castelfo's dismay. The death of Alderaan had never left her, but it had been so long since she'd spoken of it. So very long. A few words, and suddenly she was back there. The sick ozone smell of the Death Star's recirculated air thick in her nostrils. Tarkin's chilly smile as thin as a knife's blade, and clamped around one of her shoulders the armored hand of Darth Vader. Her father. "You understand nothing," Leia had to force the words out. "Less than nothing. I had not intended to. The destruction of Alderaan was, of course, terrible. I meant..." Castelfo held out a hand as if to soothe her. If he actually touched her, Leia would not be held responsible for her actions. He didn't, so she lashed back with words instead. "You get to daydream about a glorious empire because you grew up in the freedom and safety we bought for you. The price wasn't cheap, Castelfo. It was paid in lives and years and suffering and terror, none of which a spoiled brat could possibly comprehend because you've never had to fight for what you really believe in." Castelfo held out his arms, incredulous in his anger. "Was I just called a spoiled brat by a princess?
A princess who lost everything when she was no older than they are now.
Leia gestured toward Corey and Joff, who both looked horrified. Undoubtedly, they'd been hoping nobody remembered they remained standing there. In the background, even C-3PO had been rendered speechless. Leia finished.
If you'll excuse me, I'd like to head back to the ship on my own before you follow.
Nobody dared argue. Leia walked back toward the mirror bright. Although it was visible in the distance, it seemed too far away. She remained focused on it, despite the tightness in her throat and churning in her belly. As she finally walked up the gangway, Greer appeared, one hand at the holster she wore. Her fierce expression faded as she saw Leia's face. Leia couldn't guess what she looked like now, but it couldn't be good.
"Princess Leia?"
Greer began, but her words halted when Leia held up her hand.
"Not now, Greer."
The words came out more smoothly than Leia had expected. Good. Greer didn't deserve to bear the brunt of anger Ransom Casterfo had earned. The others will be along shortly. Greer nodded and leaned back against one of the struts, staring out the opening into the dark tunnels beyond. By pretending to look for the rest of the delegation, she gave Leia a chance to protect her pride by going into her quarters unobserved. Leia felt a moment of deep, fierce affection for the girl, but the feeling drowned quickly. It was lost in the tide of memories of Alderaan. The cloud shape falls, with their great billowing spray that seemed like a cloud come to nest on the river. Bail Organa's ringing laugh. The white-winged birds that flew in an X formation, always westward, circling the planet once a year so that different regions marked their seasons by the birds' appearance. A bedroom high in a castle tower, surprisingly simple for a royal residence, where Leia had dreamed and dozed and kept her most beloved possessions in a keepsake chest in the belief that she could then have them with her forever and ever. As the door to her quarters slid shut behind her, Leia leaned heavily against the wall. She closed her eyes and kept back the tears. It had been a very long time since she'd allowed herself to cry for Alderaan or the people she had lost there. She'd told herself she would never cry about it again. This promise had seen her through many years, but it never got any easier to keep. Greer Sonnel did not miss racing. She didn't. Really. Her diplomatic work challenged her intellect and fulfilled her desire to do something meaningful in the world. Princess Leia was the best boss Greer had ever had. Hot-tempered sometimes, but straightforward and principled, with a sly sense of humor to boot. As frustrating as the Galactic Senate could be, working there did offer the unique satisfaction of knowing you were at the political center of the known universe. It wasn't as though she could have raced forever in any case. She didn't have the wealth to outfit a team of her own, so where else might she have ended up? If she'd saved for her own ship and traveled around the galaxy looking for work, she wouldn't have been able to choose her employers. Bad bosses plus uncertain pay? No thanks. She couldn't see signing up for a standard transport company either. The same half a dozen runs over and over? Even if you did believe in what you were doing, the routine would soon sap all the joy out of flying. And once you took no more joy in flying, you might as well crawl into the peat bog and die to let the soil make something else out of you. But she'd still had so many years in front of her. So many good years taken away. No, she wasn't going to dwell on that. Princess Leia's offer of employment a few years ago had come just when Greer needed it most. She'd adapted to the Senate, become damn good at her job, in fact, and yet she still got to fly from time to time. Even diplomatic runs on the Mirror Bright could offer some variety. And this mission was shaping up to be much more interesting than most.
She actually spoke the words, "spoiled brat"?
Greer took a gulp of her calf as she double-checked the engines first thing the next day. Joff nodded, his thick, floppy blonde hair sliding into his eyes from the motion.
And he threw them right back at her.
Greer pretended to shiver.
So the deep freeze continues.
In Bastatha's deep caverns, mourning was more a concept than a reality. She and Joff were working in the same darkness that had enclosed them overnight, each of them doing routine maintenance on their engines. Though in a place as lawless as Bastatha, checking for sabotage was also a good idea. The Mirror Bright checked out. But Greer lingered, mostly for the chance to check out Joff's X-Wing. Back when she'd had a starfighter of her own, she'd babied it until it shone, even down in the deepest recesses of its engines. Her comlink buzzed.
Greer?
Princess Leia, can we help you?
Greer glanced at Joff, who was leaning closer already.
Briefing in 5.
Yes, ma'am,
Greer said with a smile. Oh, this was no routine run. Sometime later, as Greer sat in one of the chairs in the Mirror Bright's main area, the briefing seemed about to wrap up until Ransom Casterfo walked in. Unsurprisingly, he already wore his fine cloak, though by now it had begun to look rather crumpled.
Does he sleep in it?
Greer wondered idly. Casterfo looked from person to person.
Is this a meeting?
Why, Senator Casterfo, we are currently discussing an invitation just received by the princess.
C-3PO, always glad to be of service, shuffled closer to Casterfo.
Several business leaders on Bastatha have invited her to a private conference.
I was invited as well,
Casterfo interjected, alarm clear on his face.
But I had no thought of accepting. Surely, Senator Organa.
I've said yes. Princess Leia poured herself more caff with studied nonchalance. Greer thought that anyone who didn't know the princess very well would actually think she didn't care. Don't worry, you needn't accompany me.
How can you even consider it?
Casterfo stepped into the middle of the small gathering. Maybe he was compensating for being excluded by now making it impossible for them to ignore him.
Such an invitation is highly irregular. Business leaders? Need I remind you the nature of the business conducted on Bastatha? Most of it is distasteful at best, criminal at worst. They even asked for us to bring only one escort. Suspicious, don't you think? If there is any truth to Emissary Yendor's allegations, and this Rin Riven Dai figure has a cartel based on this planet, then there's even potential for violence.
I don't think they'll attack a senatorial delegation. Princess Leia didn't meet Casterfo's eyes. He might as well have been a piece of furniture in the room.
Ouch,
Greer thought. She didn't like the guy much better than the princess did, but she couldn't help pitying anyone who'd basically just been buried neck deep in ice.
You don't think. And on this basis, you'll march out into mortal danger.
Casterfo gestured skyward, then sighed.
I take it nothing I say will make any difference. Why should you start listening to me now?
The princess shrugged. As I said, you can stay here, safe and sound. Casterfo pulled himself back together with a sniff.
I shall take no responsibility for your safety.
That's fine. Anything else? Princess Leia took another sip. By now, the tension in the room had risen so sharply that Greer's own calf seemed to churn in her belly. Kor stared at her feet, and C-3PO's upper body rotated from senator to senator in apparent confusion.
Good luck, Casterfo said. You'll need it.
With that, he stalked back toward his quarters. The silence that followed endured until Corey finally ventured.
It's not as though he's wrong.
Greer and Joff exchanged a look. Would Princess Leia blow up at that? Would she acknowledge that Corey, like Casterfo, actually had a point? She did neither. The princess continued staring at the corridor down which Casterfo had vanished as she said, He's the type they liked to recruit. The Empire, I mean. Casterfo is just the sort of person they promoted in their ranks. Privileged and proper and self-important. Nobody spoke. Greer figured the others, like her, had no idea what to say.
I can just see him in an Imperial uniform, Princess Leia continued. And I think that's how he likes to see himself.
Surely not.
C-3PO sounded as indefatigably cheerful as ever.
Why, who would ever want to imagine being a part of the Empire?
Leia's dark eyes continued to stare past the rest of them, toward a horizon only she could see. Many people would. Far too many. When the businessmen arrived, yellow-green Nikto